there are a lot of people that go to Google I.O. And man, Kaushik talked to like 95% of them. This is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker, and this is part two of our Google I.O. episodes. I want to let Kaushik take it from here. If you haven't listened to part one, please go back and listen to part one as this is a continuation. Kaushik will be talking to more individuals, asking them some great questions, and we'll be learning a ton from the community. Take it from here, Kaushik.
Okay, so with me, I have the lead developer of Memory Diaper. Oh, no, sorry, something else. Okay, so maybe for the listeners, you should tell us like who you are, what you do.
All right, so I'm Pierre-Yves Rico, but people call me PY or Pierre. I work at Square on the developers team, which builds APIs for external developers. And yeah, I created Lead Canary, which I'm not supposed to say it, but I originally called it Memory Diaper, and I was told it was not a good name. So.
Naming always hard thing. So, what's the most exciting announcement that you heard at I/O?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I really like the
Instant apps.
Like the splitting. I think it brings up a lot of, it's going to bring up a lot of problems. So like, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. How do you split your code? And how do you deal with permissions, mm-hmm. Crash handling, analytics? Right. It's all going to be crazy.
Right.
But it's very cool. I think we're gonna start seeing people who do that for like with an unexpected use case. Like maybe I can write a game that just runs into this one thing, and so you can like start like sharing games with your friends, and just like really really quickly.
Kind of things, right? That's smart.
A lot of interesting ideas we could do with that.
Right. Hopefully, web views or something will die with this.
Web views.
Yeah. All right. So, this is a good question for you specifically. Fragments, yay or nay?
Yay! So if you want to know more, there's a library called Fragnums, which the goal is to replace fragments with enums. Other than that, I don't think no one should really use fragments ever. I don't really see any value. But I'm also not saying that no one should really use the Square libraries either. You just should understand how things work and make your own stuff. It's not hard. It's like you need an array list and a bunch of views and then you're good to go. So,
okay. That's fair. What's the last Android application that you used that you thought was like really cool?
So a friend showed me Penny, which is basically like Mint. So it's analyzing your finances, but it's a conversational app. So if you saw the Google I/O announcements about Allo, it's the same thing, but except you enter your like bank information, and then you start the app, and it's like, hey, how are you? Do you like wanna, you know? Did you know that this week you've been using Uber a lot or whatever? And it's like this kind of information, and you just have a bunch of pre-selected answer, and then it goes into a kind of a web flow, it's just like a chat basically.
Okay.
And it's really friendly. I stopped using it eventually, but it was fun at first.
Okay. Sweet. So, folks at Penny, shout out to you. Okay, so if you had to start an Android application, what three external libraries would you plop in? Fragnums is clearly one.
No, Fragnum is a design pattern. It's not a library. So three is a very limited number, and I would definitely put Retrofit in there.
Okay.
If I'm doing image processing, probably Picasso. I would look at other alternatives today, but Picasso is still pretty much my go-to library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if you go that way, you could say, well, the Retrofit, so you also need OKHTTP and OKIO, and like the whole thing, and something to digitalize, so probably like Wire or JSON or Mochi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hardest part. So that's what I would use. Yeah,
cool. Makes sense. Okay, so when you actually code, I'm guessing you use Android Studio. What version do you use? Do you use like beta, stable, release, dev?
Yeah, I use all the stuff I can use. So basically, what's going on is we have a big team and they're updating things all the time. So eventually, I am forced to update because they're updating some like Gradle plugins and it doesn't work for me anymore. But I'm very conservative. I let everybody like test and fail, and I'm not very nice. I'm really bad at contributing back the bugs in the IDE because I just don't update.
You're not a good IDE guinea pig.
No, I don't. It's not just the IDE. I'm very conservative when it comes to my environment. I don't want to waste any time on it. So.
Oh, interesting. So when you actually code, do you listen to anything? Do you listen to like music, white noise or something?
Yeah. So I listen to mostly electro swing these days or some electro music. But I just like to have some ambience. I like to have music around. So at Square, we have one giant open space, which is pretty nicely structured. So the sound is not too crazy, but you still have some level of sound. And it's a very, like, we don't have offices, right? And so it's nice to be able to be isolated and to... And so what I do is I have a stand-up desk, so I put on my music, it starts compiling, and I start dancing, waiting for the compiler to be done.
Because there's plenty of time, you can practice.
I can do my dance moves. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Awesome. Okay, so what's one cool Android studio shortcut that you think people may not know that they might find pretty interesting?
Yeah, so there's one that's sort of known, which is the, you know, you can use Command F12, which... when you're in a class, you can then start typing for field and method, and it's going to jump there. So instead of using, you know, Command F to search in the, it's just faster because it eliminates potential results.
Right.
But there's something that builds on top of that, and that which is great, which Jake showed me, is you can type. So you can type constructors, and you can also type constructors for anonymous classes. So if you type $12. It will find the class name $12, which is the 12th anonymous class from the top. So if you ever have a stack trace in observable, the Rx Java class, which has like 30 anonymous classes, it's so easier to just type $29 and it jumps there and you're like, that's the one.
That's awesome. I didn't know that one. So what was the last bug or sort of like ordeal that you had to deal with in Android?
So I'm dealing with a very, very fun and complex one right now. It's related to multidex and the update process in probably older versions of Android. So what's going on is that your app is starting right after an update, but it actually hasn't finished updating yet. And so what you get with, so you know how you have one main dex and then a bunch of multidexes in like a separate folder, which is like a cache folder where the secondary dexes are unzipped. So what ends up happening is because it's some concurrency issues. I haven't exactly found the issue yet. I'm adding logs to our crashes to figure it out. But basically, you end up with the main dex being the new version. But the secondary dexes are still pointing to the old secondary dexes. And so you end up with some no-class def-found errors. So if you've seen a no-class def-found error popping up since you started using multidex, it could be that, especially if it's right after an upgrade. It's basically it's pointing to the old dexes. So it can find the classes have changed because it's a new build. And so... it's pretty crazy. It's pretty fun too.
So we'll follow you on Twitter and find out what happens.
When
you get to the bottom
of
that.
I'll probably file an issue on.
Cool. So what's one thing you wish Android had but doesn't?
A better system level tooling for detecting memory leaks and collecting information for that.
Because
of Lee Canary. What I really want is an easy way for in production, because Lee Canary is all about dev, right? But I really want in production when we get a crash, a way to say, well, that's because, you know, you were a bad boy and you've been like using all these things and you forgot to clear that reference.
Right.
And so all of that, we can't really do, but the system could, like we can sort of do, but the system would be a much better place to do that.
Yeah. And definitely like having that information in production means like you can exercise more sort of like cycles because the user
Look at big numbers and groups and it's pretty good.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, POI. And I hope you have a good IO, rest of the IO.
Thank you.
Israel, Federer, Ralat, Camacho.
Ralat is my nickname.
Okay. So could you tell us who you are?
So my name is Israel Ferrer Camacho, also known as Ralat in the internet. I work at Twitter for 2 years now.
Not bad.
I've been working in Fabric and then in Twitter for Android now in the Moments team. I've been an Android developer for quite a while.
And we have had the pleasure of having... Israel on a previous show, so we'll add that in the show notes. It was an amazing episode.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much. So what's the most exciting announcement that you heard at I.O.?
You know, since I'm an Android developer, I think the new Android Instant Apps was such a nice new feature. The fact that you can, from a link, launch an activity without having to install the application.
Right.
It's such a powerful and probably painful for us too, because then you have to demonstrate to users that the application is worth to be installed.
Very true. Because it's so easy not to install, right? It makes
exactly
that's a really good point, because
like it makes it easy for you to like quickly get their application, but it actually makes it more difficult for them to like keep it for longer, right?
Exactly. Oh. The retention is going to be tougher.
Retention.
You're going to have to show them the real value of your application, and you have to make your application really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that was a really nice feature, but at the same time, it's going to be complex for us to handle it. Then I really like it, the new Android Studio view editor that comes with the constraint layout.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was delightful, amazing. I'm looking forward to use it this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, that's from the Android developer perspective. Then I was expecting the future. I'm really excited about VR.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting something more than the that requirements, that that definition that they put there, the Daydream, right?
Right,
I was expecting like, yes, let's make the future happen today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited about VR. I know Google is going to do something amazing soon.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
That's fair. Okay, so this is a question that I think I know the answer already. Fragments, yay or nay? Definite yes, right? That's exactly what you said last time.
Fragments. Let's talk about fragments. So
let me explain you.
Yeah, let me explain you fragments, guys. No, fragments are great. They are in the Android framework. They are tools that that amazing developers build for us.
Mm-hmm.
They have pros and cons. I talk about it in my in my last talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are hacking an app and you want to ship it fast,
mm-hmm.
I will not care. I will just use fragments, and I will not care about the cons, right?
Right, right.
If you want to do, because it's like everything. If you want to do a custom application with many, many, I don't know, custom navigation and things like that, or like really specific
some
behaviors.
Yeah.
Between screens, maybe I won't. But again, engineers should have the criteria to decide to use or not.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
That's fair.
I have to be fair, because otherwise people call me out about it. So let's talk about DataBindings real quick.
Friends who my friends to work at Google.
Yes. So DataBindings. Guys, DataBindings is great. It removes templating code. Okay? That's it. But just be sure not to put business logic on the XML. That's my recommendation.
I wonder who would have told you that.
I don't know who.
Okay. So what was the last Android application that you used on your phone that you thought was amazing, that blew your mind?
So you know, I live now in the US, but I keep in sync with my country, Spain, I listen to Spanish and Catalan radio,
mm-hmm.
and I think Pocket Cast, I use it every day.
Love those guys.
I use many podcast apps, mm-hmm. but Pocket Cast, so far, it's been the best I ever use.
Right.
And I love to use it every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Shout out to the Pocket Cast team.
Yes, I met them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're
twice.
Here. Yeah.
Because I didn't forget I met them in the first place.
Right.
So they're great. They're
amazing.
People. Amazing. Yeah.
So actually, when you start a new application and you have to start with like some external libraries, what three external libraries would you absolutely use?
All the applications usually need a network layer.
Yeah.
So I will go with Retrofit 2. And since Retrofit 2 works really well with RxJava, and I know how RxJava works, I just go with RxJava 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to get into the third one, and we are thinking to make an application that it's maintainable, and
mm-hmm.
that's what we try. I would love to, when I build something, I would love that it's there forever, and that we code around that code base for many, many years.
Right.
I will say Dagger, because dependency injection is really important on the maintainability.
That's like the best combination. If I had to give an answer, that would be my exact.
But take it with some,
grain of salt.
Yeah, grain of salt, because if you don't know them, the learning curve is steep.
Very true. Then actually, it would be the worst library. Yes. You don't know what they are.
So be careful. Yeah. Right? They are great libraries, but they are all. It's like you are doing Android, but you are not really doing Android.
Right. At that point, it's almost like Java development.
Yes, it's Java. So. So, keep going to them. They are really powerful, but if you want to do it, it's not going to be fast the first time. It's going to be fast the second time.
Yes.
And the
yes.
third time is going to be great. Amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to build it really fast.
And the fourth time, you're like, I'm just going to use this.
Yeah.
No thoughts at all.
Yeah. So, I will use that one in my case, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. So when you use Android Studio, what version do you use? Do you use like stable, beta, canary?
All of them. I use all of them.
All of them.
So I have a for work stable. Then for hacking, canary. So I get all the new things first. And then I have a copy of the stable one from work, just in case, because I have some custom configurations and stuff.
Oh, right.
And styling and things like that, and I don't want to lose them.
Mess with that. Yeah.
So I just have that backup just in case something, like I wake up one day and I remove it. Just, I don't know, just happens.
That's fair. Backup's always a good thing, right?
Yes, always. Duplicate, triplicate things.
Yeah.
<It's> paranoia.
So speaking about Android Studio, is there any keyboard shortcut that you think everyone should use?
There are many,
that is
true. I actually wrote a blog post about it, but...
Even better, then we'll just point a link to that.
Yeah, it's an old one, though. I probably not... There is many new ones. The multiple cursor that they showed yesterday.
Oh, yesterday? Yeah,
that's so strange. Powerful.
Yeah,
that saves you so much time.
So much time, yeah.
So that one...
Because our job is copy-pasting, and this makes it even better. That's all we do.
You know how UI development works.
Yeah. That's true.
Copy-paste everything. Okay, so when you actually code, do you listen to music? Do you listen to, like, silence or, like, to podcasts? Like, what do you...
So when I'm home, I like silence.
Right.
In the open space offices.
Uh-huh.
Let's not get a starter. Let's not talk about this. But but I need music because everybody's talking, which is fine. Collaboration is great. And I usually listen to classical music.
Mm-hmm.
It's really relaxing.
Very nice, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it is like when I was talking in your podcast, I recommend The Weeknd.
Yeah, I love
so
those guys.
So that kind of music, it's really... You know, sometimes, but in general, it's classical music.
Perfect.
Okay, so last question. If you wished Android had something, what would that be?
Well, that's a hard question. When you work, you know, what happened in when you work in a big company like Twitter with a big Android team is that you are in a really small area of the app, so I don't actually have to think about complex stuff like networking
or
persisting data.
Mm-hmm.
But like persisting data, what I remember was tough because I have always to remember how SQLite works and how the if I have a content provider, how that works. So but like generating the tables, you know, it was like you have to actually code the SQL.
Yeah.
So you know, it would be lovely if they would be able to give us like a annotation based ORM.
Right. Yeah.
I think they're smart. They can do that for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be performant and everything.
Right, like, and it seems to be heading in that direction. And because they have access to like some of these code things, that would be a nice thing to
have.
Right?
That would be great.
Awesome.
Ralat, Israel, always. I'm going to keep calling you Ralat now.
It's
I don't
fine.
Know.
Ralat is fine.
It's fine. You'll respond to Ralat like on the street the streets of New York where you are now. If I like shout in Brooklyn, like, hey, Ralat, you listen.
Listen. This nickname has been with me since 2008 or so. So I it's part of my name. Yeah, it's part of my name. Yeah.
Awesome. Always a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a great IO.
Yeah, it's ending, but it's been really, really great.
Thank you.
All right, my name is Tor Norby, and I work on Android Studio.
Okay. So how do you pronounce your name, your surname correctly? Because your first name, Tor, is obviously from Torrance, right? So like Torrance and Tor. So I'm sure that's how it is. But how do you pronounce your like last name? Because I always try to like mumble my words, so I don't have to. So I want to get this cleared out.
Well, my real name is Torbjørn Norby, and that's Norwegian.
That's but much I just, more easier.
I just, yeah.
<That's
easier. laughs> But when I came to the U.S., they started using the nickname Torby because, and I was like, I don't think I want to be Torby Norby. So, therefore, I go by Tor Norby in the U.S. Yeah,
awesome. And it's clear that you've now gained rock star status, right? So, like, I want to ask you. So, like, as you walk on the streets of like Mountain View on Castro, like, clearly people are like flinging themselves at you, and like, how do you deal with all the fame and celebrity?
Well, every now and then I break my keyboard out and sort of do some air guitar with the keyboard. There's basically one day a year when people are like, hey, can I take a selfie with you? And that is like the first 2 hours after, you know, the Android Developer Tools talk, then I get some selfies and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it, like your moment of fame.
That's it. And it's pretty great, actually. So thank you to everyone who did. You know,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Like, Tor hasn't allowed me to take a selfie with him yet, so hopefully, like, now I have him at gunpoint, I might try to do that. Not many people actually know this, but you had, like, a crazy... Obviously, for those who don't know ADB, I doubt there are people who don't know and actually listen to this one, but there is ADB, which is amazing, Android Developers Backstage, that both Tor and Chet run. But there's also, some time back, there was this amazing, super... huge famous Java podcast that I don't think many people know about. Can you tell us a little more about that one?
Oh yeah, that was the Java Posse podcast.
Nice.
So back when we were, a long time ago, for about 9 years we did this other podcast.
I know, it's crazy. You have like almost like 300 or 400 episodes, right?
Yeah. I think it was over 400. It was pretty crazy.
Wow.
So we did that. That was really fun.
Okay.
We were just basically hanging out, four friends hanging out, talking about stuff.
Okay.
Mostly Java, but also not just Java. It was fun.
So you said friends, and I believe Chet was also like one of your friends in this podcast. But actually, you told me offline that Chet is just like a crazy person. He never does his homework on time. Like, he always makes it so difficult. He's always like cracking jokes. So if I know it's hard for you to say this on ADB, but if there's anything that you want to get off your chest now and like you feel Chet might be listening, this is like an amazing opportunity. What do you want to say?
If he is listening, Chet's a great guy.
Oh, quick save.
No, he really is. Chet's amazing.
Yeah, we all love Chet. Chet's amazing. So Zavi's in Hawaii, at least that's what we were told in the keynote. So do you feel envious? Like how does that make you feel? Because you're in booth duty, and like, is that like kind of?
I do. I love Hawaii. It's my favorite place in the world. And so yeah, I am jealous, but happy for Zav. You know, it's a great place to be, especially instead of late nights before trying to get the demo working.
No,
it's awesome.
And I've been asking people around like what version of Android Studio they've been using. So I felt it was only fair that I ask you like a similar question. So what version of Eclipse do you actually use for work daily?
Of Eclipse?
Yeah.
Well, define daily. If it's like once every 3 years, then it would be probably 4.0. What number are they up to?
I don't even know.
Yeah,
I honestly don't even know what version they are on.
Yeah, no, since I'm working in a studio, I'm a pretty big fan of Studio. And when I do non-Android development, I use IntelliJ.
Awesome. So when you actually code day-to-day, right, what font do you use? Do you have like a specific font that you think works well for you?
Yeah, I generally use Menlo.
Menlo? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. Across all platforms or like?
I basically generally just work on a Mac.
Oh, okay.
So, I think when I sometimes switch to Linux, I use whatever the default is in IntelliJ.
Okay, fine. And last question. When you actually code, do you listen to music? Is it silence? Do you have like a voice of Chet or something running in the background like on repeat? Because clearly that would be very pleasant, I imagine.
Well,
so
it depends on the activity. So, okay. Some kinds of activity like debugging, I feel is really great with some rock and roll.
Oh, nice.
Rock and roll sounds older than I meant. It's more like, I like 80s.
80s, okay.
You know, that kind of music for that kind of activity. And, maybe more pop music for other kinds of stuff, and then classical sometimes. So
okay.
I do like to have music while I code, but if I'm working from home, generally, it's silent.
Okay.
So it's more when I'm in an office environment, I like to put on music.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tor. Like, thank you for all the work that you and your folks do. It makes our lives definitely easier, and we are so happy to have you. And folks, always do listen to ADB.
Yeah, thank you for the Fragmented podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of the I.O.
Thank you.
I have Kyo Krobovich with me here. There we go. So for our listeners, who you are, where you work.
Yes, I am Kelly Schuster, also known as Kyo Krobovich on GitHub.
Yeah.
And I work at Thoughtbot in Denver, Colorado. I'm an Android developer and GDE.
Perfect. What was the most exciting announcement you thought you heard at I.O.?
I think it's a tie between the constraint layout editor for Android Studio and the developer kit for Project Ara, which is the modular phone. One of them is sort of like a more practical announcement for my day-to-day life, and the other one is just sort of like, I'm really excited.
Nice. So, Fragments, yay or nay?
I'm not a huge fan. I feel like it makes sense to use them, I will use them. I will deal with that.
Okay.
But it's definitely not my go-to thing. I will avoid them.
That's fair. What was the last
application that you used on your phone that you thought like really blew your mind?
Yeah, my favorite is definitely Clue. It's a women's health tracking app.
Yeah.
And not only is it like the best one in the market, mm-hmm. For the like just its functionality, like the actual custom views and like the animations and everything is just killer. And they're cool and custom, but they never like mess up either. So I'll just like, there's like this little wheel and I'll just sit there like playing with the wheel, just like staring at it. Yeah.
So shout out to the folks who are working on the Android app for Clue.
Definitely. Excellent job.
So when you actually use Android Studio, do you use like a stable version, beta version, developer version, or Canary?
Yeah, I have two instances of Android Studio at all times. So usually on client work, I'm using stable. Mm-hmm. And then I always have Canary for like open source projects that I'm working on with Thoughtbot or myself.
Right.
So because I just am so anxious to try all the new stuff, I have to have it right away. Right.
And if you had to pick like one keyboard shortcut that you think is like pretty cool that our listeners should know about, what would that be?
Yeah, I think the one I use all the time is Command Click. Okay, so sure. If you're looking in like, you're calling a method and you want to like jump into the declaration, you could just command click on that and it just jumps you there. I use that all the time. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
What was the last bug or sort of like ordeal that you had to deal with in Android development?
I think, so this is kind of off the wall, but I was working actually on a React Native project. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. And they had a lot of like ways that you can style Android through the React Native style, which is like not quite CSS and not quite native Android, but it's like its own thing. But it doesn't really have full support. So it took me a while to figure out. I was trying to style the cursor. You could style every other part of the edit text box through their own styling thing, but not the cursor. So it took me a while to figure out that that was not possible. Okay. So then I had to like bridge into native Android code and just style it like the regular way. So yeah, that was kind of a bummer because I wanted to keep as much code in the React Native thing as it could. Right, but if I would have just known from the get-go that I had to get to an Android, it would have done
you
like 2 seconds.
Wasted that 1 week. Yeah.
So I was like, I'll write a blog post, save some other poor soul from this ordeal. Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And if you had to start like a new application, what three libraries would you pull in?
Yeah, so definitely Picasso, because I just love that that just makes that so easy. And then also Butterknife, because I'm tired of typing find view by ID.
Yeah.
And
death to boilerplate.
Exactly. Oh, my God. And then I don't know if it's really relevant anymore, but the percent layout library.
That's
cool thing.
Yeah, that was actually pretty, like you can specify like 90% of or 10 or something.
Yep,
like that,
it's it inherits from relative layout. So it's a relative layout, but like kind of like with percents in like kind of like linear layouts weights.
Right.
But with the whole constraint layout thing, I don't know if I'll be including the percent layout as much anymore.
That's true.
Is there one thing you wish Android had but doesn't at the moment?
Kind of. So for me, that question I think of like in terms of developer tools.
Ooh, okay.
So I really have been thinking a lot about like layout performance. And there's no like clear cut set of rules of like, the linear layout that's nested will take this much more time than the relative layouts, double pass, and like stuff like that. So I would love to have kind of like a benchmarking tool where I could like write up the same layout like in different ways and run this tool and see like what's the exact performance hit.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
especially because like it's weird because sometimes you can like nested linear layouts might in some cases actually be a little better than using a relative layout.
Yeah.
So that's a fantastic one. Yeah, we should
I would love that.
At least make it easy enough. Like sure, I could like add calls and like measure like the thing on view, but that's too much of a pain. I'm not gonna keep doing that for. Like at some point, like, you know, the return on investment is like, I'll just add one of them. And
exactly.
Deal with it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much, as always, Kelly. I hope you have an amazing rest of the I.O.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
I'm Eugenio Marletti. I live in Berlin and I work for Clue.
Fragments. Yeah or nay?
So, yeah, interesting that you ask. I recently did a talk together with Sebastiano Poggi.
Who's that guy?
Called Life Without Fragments.
Okay. So I guess the answer is sort of like self-explanatory from that.
So, talk, I mean, I'm one of those people that has been bitten several times by fragments. Yeah. Especially, like, even when you do everything right, the bugs sometimes just creep on you.
Okay.
And, yeah. So like I would say no in general, but then I don't know if you've seen the talk that Adam did here at IO. They're gonna fix a lot of stuff, which is very positive and makes me hopeful.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out again and with like with an open mind try to see if maybe now is the time to actually start using them, even just as a base for like a framework.
Yeah.
That you can build
at IO. Like, what's the best announcement that you heard?
Yeah, definitely Android Studio and also the constraint layout. That's also very interesting.
Constraint layout.
Yeah.
There was some snazzy stuff that they did with that.
But Android Studio, it's crazy. It keeps on improving, and every time it surprises me.
They have been doing some pretty crazy.
Yeah. I think they're moving faster than anything else. It's really nice.
So, what's the last Android application that you use on your phone that you thought like really blew your mind? All right, so if you were to start like an application from scratch, what three libraries would you pull into this application?
So I would say in order, RX Java.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I've been using it for a few years now. And if there is one thing I learned is that everything you do with RX Java, if you can make it work the first time, it just works every time, more or less.
That is true. That is very true. It's crazy. Once you get it working, you never have to go back and change. Or
Then the second one would be Kotlin.
Kotlin. Nice choice.
Big fan. Yeah. And it really like makes your development life pleasurable. Finally.
Nice. RX Java and Kotlin.
RX Java and Kotlin. And then I would say the super library, because you probably cannot do anything else.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. Three choices.
Yes.
Great. All right, so when you actually use Android Studio, what version do you use? Do you use like stable, beta,
so release? At work, for working with the main code base, I use stable.
Okay.
Because I've tried doing it differently and it didn't work out. So yeah, I use stable for that.
Stable, interesting.
And then I use in parallel Canary for any exploration or side project.
Okay, that's fair. And speaking about Android Studio, is there like any shortcut that you feel that our listeners should know about Android Studio?
I don't know if they know it, but I use a lot two things mostly. One is the quick switcher.
It's
Command E on my key bindings. I don't know, and you can see all your previous files.
Right,
and it's amazing. Like I use it every time. It's like Alt Tab, but sort
a
of
little
inside.
More context aware.
And then the second one is that, and not many people know this, but when you are searching for anything, you can actually use single letters. Like if a class is like something name something else, you can just do like SNS,
right?
And it will match it and makes it so fast once you get it, and you can use it everywhere.
Right.
So like it makes it so fast.
Fantastic. So what was the last bug or sort of like ordeal that you faced when dealing with Android?
Yeah, there's one thing that really drove me nuts. So we started having reports of people having the app crash on Samsung phones. And yeah, we thought that was a problem. And it was like the S6, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And we didn't see it before because they were native crashes. So they were not just normal exceptions. Actually, what was happening...
So the stack trace would also have been a little tricky. Yeah.
Exactly. So we had something like doing garbage collection. The garbage collector would find a node that was corrupted and it would crash the app natively. So... no stack trace, no information, nothing.
And this was like repeatable in some way?
So that's the point. We didn't have that device.
So
we bought one just to test it. And after a few tries, actually, yeah, it happened. Like sometimes immediately opening the app, it would crash. Sometimes it would take a few tries. So we started investigating, and we just couldn't figure it out. We even contacted Google, and even they couldn't help too much. And then at some point, we realized that debug builds were not affected. And then we say, okay, wait, there's something there. And in the end, after trying nearly everything, we found out that Progr was the cause somehow. And I know what you're thinking. It's not the optimization that we're doing anything. It was the obfuscation part.
Interesting. And somehow it was like cross-loading or some class.
I don't know, changing the name of stuff somehow. And I had no idea how. Because it should work.
Right.
But somehow it was messing up. And as soon as we changed that, it just started working again.
Wow.
And then we realized also that it wasn't actually Samsung for once. It affects every ARM64 CPU.
ARM 64 CPUs.
Yeah.
Okay, so if anyone there is having an ARM 64 CPU issue,
yeah,
then you know ProGuard's the cause.
We had a classic case of like you Google that and you find no results, or you find one result which is like very, very close, and nobody ever replied to that. I was like, oh my God, no.
That has happened more than once.
And it's still an open question. Like, we don't know why. So if anybody knows, please contact
me. Reach out to WorkingKills at Twitter, okay?
Yeah.
And what's one thing that you wish Android had?
Oh, I have a big dream, yes. So my number one feature request would be to have a core in the Android framework.
A core, okay.
A core that producers could not touch, to the point where Google would simply, you know, ship it remotely, and this way you would be able to update to the latest version every single time on every device.
On every device, okay. So like a kind of mechanism so they can avoid
this. And and everything else would be built on top of that, which is fair. Like, everything should be an app, even like with special permissions, but still built on top of it, not forking the core, because that would be just, it's what happens right now.
I guess in some ways, like the support library and the play services is their kind of angle towards pushing, but it isn't necessarily like
a
core.
Like what I mean is that when you look at the source code for Android, you see something, but you have absolutely no guarantee that what is running on the device is
that
actually
that version. Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
So
okay.
If Google made it possible to have this untouchable core, then you would be absolutely sure,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so that would reduce fragmentation so much. Like, a lot of the bugs we have are because people that try to be smart, and I won't make any names, they change stuff, critical stuff, and it just breaks everything. Or even just, if it's broken, it's fine, but at least it's broken the same way everywhere.
Everywhere, okay. Consistently broken is better than broken.
Exactly. And also, like, if this could be updated by Google directly, it means that in, I don't know, 2 weeks, everybody on the planet could have the latest version. It would be amazing. Like, it works very well for Android Wear, for example. They can do that.
That's true.
And it's amazing. So,
fantastic idea. I hope the folks at Google are listening, because WorkingKills has spoken. Yeah. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great I.O.
Thank you.
I am Sebastiano Poggi. I am Android GDE. I work at Novora in London.
So what's the most exciting announcement that you heard at I.O.?
I think the thing I'm most excited about is definitely the new stuff in Android Studio, because there's a very, I'm very, very excited about the new things. Even just updating the underlying IntelliJ version is a big, 16, big thing. I think, I mean, there were a lot of announcements. Some I care about, some I care less about. The problem I have with the others is that until I see the things, I cannot really get excited. I need to hold them in my hand to see, like, oh yeah, this is amazing, this is amazing. I mean, there's good ideas, there's definitely a lot of potential. I want to see them for myself, not in a synthetic demo, to be able to say this is actually really, really amazing.
Okay,
like Google Home, I'm very excited about it, but until I see how it works, I can't say if I'm really excited in truth or not.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Let's start with like some completely non-controversial questions, right? So fragments, yay or nay?
I would say mostly nay, but there's very good reasons to use them. Like, well, you don't want to re-implement dialogue fragments. Those work.
Right.
What you don't want to do is to use fragments for everything and anything. I mean, they created view groups for a reason. Use view groups for what view groups should do.
Okay.
Don't use fragments just as UI pieces, because they don't make sense. There was a talk yesterday by Adam.
Yes, what's the fragment?
Yeah, the talk was what the fragment.
Yeah.
So in the what the fragment section, there was a lot of like explaining what the common misunderstandings and the common mistakes are with fragments. And I have to say, that was very well done. It actually aligns with what I believe are the biggest problems with fragments. There were some advocating for some things that I'm not really aligned on.
Okay.
But I've discussed that with Adam already, and there's like, we agree to disagree on some things.
That's fair, that's fair. So folks should go and actually see that session to get a better idea.
Definitely, it's worth it.
What's the last Android application that you use on your phone that you thought like really blew your mind?
I think the last one that really blew my mind was Google Photos.
Google Photos, yeah.
When they announced it last year, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of things that it can do for you is just incredible. Creepy and incredible. Creepedible. something. Okay. No, that sounds like edible.
That's Google's new tagline, by the way.
keep edible.
So if you were starting an application from scratch, what three libraries would you pull?
Well, you can't live without the support library, I think, in all its variations. I'm just packing everything into one because you will use most of them anyway in
that
one way or the other.
That was a very popular answer last
year. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's seriously impossible to develop without. So that's one. Probably would use something like RxJava because I've gotten quite used to it, and I think it works very well with the kind of architecture that we do in Avoda anyway. It's a very good suit. Okay. And the third one, I guess, it would be anything from Square. I mean, I couldn't name one because depending on the project, you need one or the other or more than one.
That is true.
That's kind of inevitable. It's kind of like the support library. You need that. It's a life support library.
Oh, life support. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I like that. So when you actually code, right, and you use Android Studio, do you use like a stable build, a dev build, a beta build?
I have been burnt a few times. So I tend to use stable.
Stable, interesting.
I tend to use stable, especially when I'm working on projects that have customized versions, build scripts. Like if there's a heavy customization, you can't update possibly the Gradle plugin anyway, so you might be missing out on, especially recently, on a lot of the new features. But I have definitely used preview versions, canary versions in the past, and I still do it every now and then. Like when they announced the new version, the new canary yesterday, I'm surely going to try it out, but probably not on production code. Yeah, on my like side projects and stuff.
That's fair. So if you had to recommend one Android Studio keyboard shortcut for like our listeners, which one would it be?
Well, I've actually recently done a series of blog posts on Android Studio pro tips.
Very nice.
And there's one thing that you see basically in every post, which is the most important keyboard shortcut for me in Android Studio, which is... Command Shift A or Control Shift A, find action. You find whatever you're looking for, and then you learn the shortcut, which is amazing, and then you use the keyboard shortcut the next time. So, yeah, try not to use the mouse because that's lame.
Yeah.
I remember Hadi Hariri was on our show, and he basically said, like, with IntelliJ, they try very hard to make sure that you don't have to use your mouse. So,
And if something you use doesn't have a keyboard shortcut, you can define it.
Right.
So, do it. Like the attach debugger for some reason doesn't have a default shortcut that I know of, so you can just define one, and then like Control A on Mac is a good fit,
right
and then just you can attach the debugger to whatever process you're running.
That's fair.
Okay. So what is the last bug or sort of like ordeal that you faced when you were dealing with Android?
Excessive coupling between fragments and activities, which drives me back to the don't use fragments for stuff they shouldn't be used for, and especially don't hide dependencies that fragments have on activities by just having activities implement like listeners and the fragment cast them.
Interesting, yeah.
Even worse, doing it opaquely, like using a function that uses generics to hide the cast.
Right.
Because that way you will never be able to understand that the activity is implementing something because of the fragment. You can't follow the dependency. Yeah. And you're like, all happy, oh yeah, just change this thing. And then you run the app and it explodes. And you're like, oh man, not again.
Interesting.
If you wanted Android to have one thing that it currently doesn't, what would it be?
A streamlined view system. Because I think the views framework right now is good, but it's clearly undergone a lot of iterations that for the sake of saving backwards compatibility are making some things especially tricky. So I think, well, the constraints layout is in a way a step in that direction.
Right.
But there's some stuff like accessibility or some like doing layouts yourself. It can get very, very tricky. So I know it's never going to happen, but a man can dream, and
We should.
I hope at some point there will be some big change there that makes everybody's life easier.
Thanks a lot, Seb. Hope you have a good rest of the IO.
Thank you.
Cool. So I have GDE Mike Evans with me. Can you let our listeners know who you are, where you work, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm the Android lead at Living Social and based in Washington, D.C.
Sweet. What was the most exciting announcement that you heard at I.O.?
I think the most exciting was Android Studio 2.2. Yeah. Mostly because it actually is out, and and there's all sorts of awesome quality of life improvements that everyone's been asking about for a long time.
Awesome. So fragments, yay or nay?
Mixed. I have some in my app, but I think they use them where they make sense and don't use them.
No strong feelings.
Yeah.
For or against. Okay, that's fine. What was the last application that you used on your phone that you thought like really blew your mind?
I don't know if there was anything that particularly blew my mind, but the Robinhood app has like super awesome design, and they won the Material Design Award.
That's true,
so
that's
shout
true.
Out to those guys.
It's a fantastic app, and the app is basically like if you want to purchase stocks and stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. So what three external libraries would you not start an application without? That's a double negative, so it's confusing. But if you had to start an Android application, which three libraries would you absolutely have?
So the first one's Retrofit. I don't know how anyone can like deal with doing network requests without it. Second one's probably Dagger, just because dependency injection just makes your app a little bit more easy to maintain, testable, mm-hmm. things like that. And last one, maybe Butterknife. No one really likes writing all those fine view by ID boilerplate. I know that makes it sound like I love Jake Wharton. I do. I do.
So when you actually work on Android Studio, what version do you use? Do you use like stable, beta, dev, canary?
I usually use canary just because I like trying out all the new features, and it's helpful for finding bugs and passing them back so that they're not in the final versions.
And when is there like any specific keyboard shortcut from Android Studio that you think is pretty cool that our listeners may not know, or like you think they should know?
There's a lot of like lesser known ones that I think when you discover them, it's like a big aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like a perfect example is the regex tester. If you have a regular expression, you can do like alt enter or whatever the Windows shortcut is, and it pops up like an inline tester, so you can type in some strings to make sure your regular expression matches on things you expect and not on things you don't expect.
And that's awesome, because you can also keep testing out your regex expressions, because nobody ever like remembers what the exact thing
right.
is.
Just, like, try or you open up a browser and go to one of the online editors and trying it out, but now you can just do it in your IDE.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So when you actually code, do you listen to music, white noise, silence? What do you listen to?
Usually just music. I find that if I'm listening to a podcast, I end up focusing too much on what the people are saying and kind of get distracted from working.
Okay, so and in music, like you generally hear like stuff with like a lot of words, or is it just like plain?
That's usually just a mix, but I don't find like I focus as much on it as I do when people are talking about something that I care a lot about.
If you wish Android had one thing, what would that be?
A little bit more sane messaging situation. At I/O, they announced Allo, which is now like the third messaging app that would be on my phone beside Messenger and Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to convince people who have iPhones already to use like Hangouts or something like that. Now I'm going to have to tell them like, use this other thing instead. They're so content
things.
With iMessage and like harassing me over having a green bubble instead of a blue. So if we had one thing that I could try and push people on, it would be better.
Mike, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great I.O.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, I'm Zara. I work for domain.com.au as an Android developer. I'm based in Sydney, and I usually don't sound like this.
Too much partying?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I organized GDG Sydney.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. So tell us more about the GDG in Sydney.
Well, I joined them like late last year, mm-hmm. after like a year after I moved to Sydney, and so we're trying to make the chapter more active.
Mm-hmm.
We had our first Dev Fest last year, which was like awesome for us. Like we learned a lot of things. So if you're in Sydney, please come to our meetups.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So what was the most exciting announcement that you heard at I/O?
I think definitely Android Studio 2.2, because like I love Android Studio, and like the tools team are awesome.
Yeah.
When I report bugs, like they always respond to me and fix it. So, yeah, and like they've done a tremendous job this year, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like one team that have been killing it, like year after year. They somehow managed.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Thor deserves all those confetti.
Yeah, he's a rock star.
So, a couple of other quick questions: fragments, yay or nay?
Well, I think it depends, like on your use case. Like there are some instances where it would if it would make your life easier, like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, we have them in our app. Mm-hmm. So, like, we see no, like, urgent reason to get rid of them. So.
Right, right. Oh, so, I mean, like, yeah, you're totally fine using it, right?
Yeah.
That's right. What was the last Android application that you used that you thought, like, totally blew your mind?
Well, right, I'm going to say it. Spaces, because it's so broken.
Ooh, wow,
no, no, harsh. but really, really. All right. Pocket Casts, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
they're pretty close to you too, right?
Well, as close as you can get in Australia, yeah, I guess.
I suppose.
Well, yeah, they live in another state, but like those two guys are awesome. Yeah. Shifty Rocket. Jelly is awesome.
Yeah.
We met in IO for the first time. Even
what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We all have to fly here to meet, but. Yeah, right. They're pretty cool guys. Yeah. And like last year, they won the Material Design Awards.
Right.
So yeah, it's like just the two of them doing this awesome app. Like mm-hmm. everyone seems to love them. So yeah. I'm joining the bandwagon.
Absolutely. I'm one of them as well. I love those guys. Okay, so if you are starting a new Android application, what three libraries would you absolutely use?
Definitely Dagger.
Dagger? One or two?
Still on one. Still sorry.
One. Oh, no, me too. I'm yeah. like totally a one. Like I'm not. Yeah. Gonna, I'm an old guy. I'm not gonna like.
Me too.
Dagger
me
two.
Too. Ah. All right, Dagger cool. one is the best Dagger ever.
Yeah.
So
there we go. The original. Yeah.
So Dagger one, and definitely Retrofit and Butter Knife. I don't think anyone can get away with not using those two anymore. Right. Like I don't even know what the Find View by ID thing is anymore.
Yeah, like I actually yeah. probably have to look up the API.
Yeah, like I recently started developing like a library and mm-hmm. I was like, why is it using all the Find View by ID?
You can't necessarily use all the libraries. Okay, yeah, that's true.
So I'm guessing you use Android Studio. So what version do you use?
Canary Forever.
Canary Forever? Yes. Living Dangerously.
Yes. Like I've got myself too many times, but why not?
Okay, yeah. I mean, we can fix it if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
No, actually, let me ask you something else. So, what's the best Android keyboard shortcut that you think our listeners should know?
There are a lot. Like, I use a lot, and sometimes I don't even think about them anymore. But I think one really useful one is F2. So when you're viewing a file and you have like tons of red lines, like errors and warnings in it, F2 will allow you to skip to the next one
and shift
F2 to the previous one. So if you're like doing, especially useful during merging, and if you have conflicts, then you open the file and you just F2 to the next one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you don't have to like, especially if the file is big, right? Like 1,000 lines. Like it's so hard to find the errors.
Oh, that's I use that all the time too. Like this is like in the merge conflict window when it comes up when you just want to move to the next thing.
Yeah, so you don't forget all the conflict markers as well.
Right.
Because you can F2 to the next one.
I promise if I hit F2, I'll just like rename something. So I have like all my shortcuts placed. So F2 is the one that basically jumps to the next
To the next error or warning,
Perfect.
All right. So when you actually code, do you listen to like white noise, silence, music?
I usually listen to music. I have a playlist in Spotify of all the like the songs I like when I was in high school.
Oh,
so, like, 90s good, music good is the 90s. Best music ever. So, yeah, like, I think upbeat music helps me a lot.
Okay,
that's awesome. What was the last bug or ordeal that you had to deal with in Android?
I don't think it's actually a bug, but more of like an undocumented thing that's hard to figure out.
Uh-huh.
Like I was told it's possible, but then I was like, I won't even bother.
Okay, do you remember what that was?
It was an image, an activity transition with a shared image into a recycler view, which I don't think like most people do the reverse thing, like from a list to an activity.
Oh, that's true. So it's not just like a direct view to view, but like it's inside. Oh,
yeah. So it's kind of tricky, like. Mm-hmm. Two Googlers so far have told me, like, yeah, it's tricky. So, like, now I don't feel as bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but documentation is definitely
there. Yeah.
Zara, thank you so much. I hope you have a great IO.
Thank you. And I hope to be back in the U.S. if they let me back in.
Oh, that's awesome. No, they totally will.
You
just
I
have to tell
so.
Them, hey, I'm one of the awesomest Android developer. And they're like, okay, you get in.
Thank you.
That's it for the show, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did when I was on the ground interviewing these Android developers. Some of these Android developers are without a doubt the best in our industry. So I would recommend you go to the show notes at fragmentedpodcast.com/episodes/43 and follow all of these folks on Twitter. We have a link to all of their handles. Some of the stuff they put out is amazing. I also apologize for the quality of some of the recordings. As you all probably know, Google I.O. was in the open, and so we also had to hear some of the birds, aeroplanes above, the helicopters. So all of that had unfortunately also crept into some of the recordings. But I do want to thank Sarah from our network Spec. She did a phenomenal job in cleaning some of those recordings. Seriously, if you folks heard the before and after for some of these recordings, you'd be astounded. So thank you so much for that, Sarah. If you folks want to contact either Don or me, you always know our Twitter handles. That's probably the best way. And you can also get to us at fragmentedpodcast.com/contact. Thank you all so much. And as usual, we will catch you in the next episode.
There was a talk yesterday by Adam Sandler that is working on...
Adam Sandler?
No, god damn it, I got confused with it.
Speechless.
Cut! Future you, cut this. I have a complete blank now.
What's the last ordeal or like the bug that you had to deal with in Android?
I don't know the answer to this question.
Everything is perfect in the Android
world. Yeah, I don't have any bugs.
No bugs, you never write
bugs. The other guys write some bugs, but I never write
Not them. You, that's true.
So, I recently had a fight with one of the guys at work about removing the M in front of all our variable class
variable
names.
Wait, so there
names.
Was actually someone who thought the Hungarian notation was a good idea, who actually wanted to have the M?
Yes, shout out to Camille for that one.
He's going to get a lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
Even the folks at Google, I think, don't want the Hungarian notation. They think it's a bad idea, so.
Well, I mean, all the docs are in Hungarian, so.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, Hungarian notation. If they were in Hungarian, it would be a different story.
I told you I'd forget this one. No, and I had a good one too.
I didn't tell Jake this, but I can totally just put it on hold.
So. Oh, yeah. I figure all of that like wondering that Jake was doing and talking about how he forgot everything.
Yeah.
I figured you, like mix that in as like a subliminal track.